Hello and welcome to the Unofficial Controller Podcast, your weekly gaming podcast, episode 114. A conversation with the Unofficial Controller Community Manager, Bo Baloba. Strange, but that's how we do the intro, because now I've got to say with me, George, and this week joined by a man who embodies Captain Price in Call of Duty. He's spent more time in Warzone than most veterans. He's also in the Guinness Book of Records. His real name is Rob, but we can't acknowledge that here. He also finds time to be a founding pillar of the XBM network, a mighty Xbox community, and also this show's own community manager. To top it all off, a loving father and amazing husband. I've been paid for that comment. He's king of the Discord to my lowly court jester, Bo Baloba. How's it going?
And I talk nothing like that. Sorry to disappoint.
Unsubscribe. Everyone's just like, what is this dribble? You'll be telling me next that Bada Bingsta doesn't like to talk like this. He talks like that. Don't you dare. How are you? Thank you for the honor of coming on. May I also say, no, you're not allowed to speak just yet. I'm going full Tom. Don't forget I'm a lord. I don't know what I am now. From the bottom of my heart, from the bottom of the community's heart, let's get you on here. Up at 3 in the morning, pulling wires out, Ethernet cables, swapping around, keeping the Discord server going. That's what I imagine. You sweating with like a flannel mopping, like Toxis is down there with a wet damp cloth mopping your head, covered in, I don't know, coal dust. I don't know why, but that feels most suitable. You're an honor, you're a gentleman of honor. You keep things going. You manage the Discord, the menus, the topics, the polls. Let me tell you this. I can only barely add the unofficial controller like to a comment I see. That's about the top limit of what I can do. So thanks to you, people who like the show have all managed to gather together under this umbrella that pulls them in, the mighty Discord. Thank you.
It's an absolute pleasure. Honestly, the Discord thing is almost like a hobby sort of side project for me. I was always interested in how they worked, so an opportunity arose to really get my teeth into it and figure it all out. So it's a pleasure to see it all work as well as it does.
You see, as a lord, I'm so distant from this. My hobbies are fox hunting and killing other small animals with copious amounts of blood spraying everywhere. That's what I do for kicks. But you're down there on your hands and knees running the Discord. Unbelievable, sir. I doff my cap to you.
Ethernet. Routers, it's all here.
He's brought them
scattered
into the,
about.
He's, I don't know why he's brought these random accoutrements to his career to Ponsonbury Manor. He's laid them out. They're like his comfort. Do you remember Blockbuster when people would go on and have their teddy on the front? You've got these Ethernet cables as your sort of champions.
I've got all sorts of champions in front of me right now. if you can think of it, I've probably got it on this desk right now.
Well, let's... Internet. Okay. let's give everyone a rundown of what's going to happen this show. Let's give you the comfort blanket of the safety net that's going to pull you through. Coming up, we've got some really tasty-looking news. One could argue, wait, hang on a minute. Real life in person A&R, in person real life? That's what news is all about. Then we've got the feature, which is a little dibble-dabble into and my co-host with the most Bo Baloba's life and how he does things with the Discord. We've got some questions from you good guys as well, which is amazing. Then, the bit I'm most looking forward to, the thing that proves that me, Tom, Bobby, and a raft of other people now aren't leaving the lid off the bleach when cleaning the bathroom, because Stingray's a real person, is going to rip up the drive. No, it's not just a sound effect. How dare you? That's what the initiator, that's the sort of thing C. Pliskin would say. Okay. Once he's here, we'll pick a game out each. We'll read through what he's got in the boot. We're going to take a VHS. No, hang on. It's a UMD. We're going through a phase. I'm going through an addiction, Bo Baloba. My name's George. I'm a UMD collector, and I need help. Then, once he's gone, smoke has settled and the dust has cleared, I'm going to ask Bo Baloba what he's hoping to play for that gaming week, but the show cannot begin because I'm feeling frisky. Otters, I don't know what you're doing this week. That's right, pal. You're feverishly bashing away on the Discord. You're trying to tell everyone how much that you love everybody and that you just can't bring yourself to say it because you're just struggling with the emotions. That's fine. Just hold on a minute, Otters, okay? Hold tight on pressing enter as I ask Bo Baloba, what have you been playing?
Well, not Warzone, much to everyone's shock and awe.
Well, hang on. Butler, who's yet to be given a name within this bizarre sitcom that is a podcast about video games. I thought you were getting me. Who's this guy? This isn't Boba Loba. What game? What game has supplanted the mighty Warzone?
Well, I broke free of the binds of Warzone and picked up the Division 2 again and got stuck into that one.
Thank God it's a military based shooter. I was beginning to think. I don't know.
I won't stray too far away.
And
12 Minutes has actually hooked me in this week.
Now, tell me about that.
So it's, I guess, psychological thriller adventure game kind of thing. It's almost sort of point and click, solve the mystery kind of game, multiple endings.
How's that work with the controller with the pointer? Is that kind or is that a little bit wish I had a mouse?
Wish I had a mouse, definitely. They've incorporated sort of the bumper buttons.
That's huge.
A kind of a quick select, but there's still an element of like drag and drop, and there's no kind of snap to item and that kind of thing. So it is occasionally you do miss things
Does it just feel clumsy though? Does it affect the gameplay? Does it make you late to move things, or is it just
not
bring you out the moment?
Not hugely. And I think once you've, because they call them loops, so you play a few minutes and then the game will loop and you play them again. So once you've had a few loops, you do kind of get used to it. Mm. It's just when you, because you're repeating steps over and over, you want to rush through a certain number of those steps. So you start making mistakes there, but it's not too bad.
Do you think making those mistakes brings an element of like, is that where the drama comes from? Cause you're trying to get it right. Or should it not be that you're making a mistake in the first place?
There's not a huge amount of pressure really to get it done quickly. It's me, I think, trying to get certain steps done quickly to progress.
Yes.
So I put the pressure on myself more than anything, which is true in life.
I think we all suffer from that a little bit, don't we? I know I do. I'll overthink eating a grape, Boba Loba, I tell you.
My dog certainly does, and that's no joke.
Me and the dogs are rumoured to be on a very similar level. So tell me, is there anything else that's broken the meniscus of your gaming week?
I dabbled with the Riders Republic beta earlier this week.
Dabbled? What does dabbled look like in the world of you?
Dabbled means I probably didn't do everything that was on offer. I had a look and decided what I liked and what I didn't like quite quickly and then switched it off.
What did you like? Was there the kite flying malarkey in there? Like steep?
Yeah, so it sort of puts you through downhill mountain biking, some snowboarding or skiing, and kind of the jet-powered wingsuit, which guides you through each of those bits and then kind of puts you in the free roam / career mode, I guess, where you can pick and choose. So I mainly spent my time with the downhill mountain biking, which worked actually very well, especially in first person, which I was quite surprised at.
Imagine that VR.
Mm. I'd be throwing up all over the place.
It's amazing what you'll put up with when it's done right. When it's done bad in VR, you're right, it's an absolute vomit comet. But when it's done well, you can literally be doing anything and you're okay with it. It's just, I guess, whether it's the physics or the frame rate or whatever. But when it's nailed, it's cool. It's like doing the thing that you just talked about, but without any fear of pain, but being slightly more in the world.
I guess, it depends what objects you've got in the room.
Well, there is that. There is that.
The coffee table could introduce an element of pain.
That adds the danger. Imagine that's the pedal whacking your shins as you miss time. That's the realist.
I've got those scars. I don't need any more.
Chicks dig scars. I don't know how you show them scars on your foreskin unless you wear shorts on every day. Maybe you do. I don't know.
You'll never know unless I stand up by mistake.
Don't. Bringing in all these cords and wires and plonking them down on a 15th century coffee table was probably more than I can imagine. Let me tell you one thing. I don't know what I've been playing this week. I've had another run at Hades. I'm not getting enough time on the bigger boys console. So I've been locked in this sort of strange, apathetic world. As much as I love the handhelds, they don't give me what I want per se from a gaming experience. I like to sit down and be surrounded by it. So I've kind of been UND-ing it just as a small finger-like grasp into what gaming is. Does this qualify as gaming? I'm watching UNDs on a little handheld thing that's purported to be a gaming machine.
I mean, everyone around you will assume you're gaming. Nobody's going to think he's watching a movie on that.
No.
He can't.
I don't think anyone thinks I'm doing anything on that. They probably look at me like, "Why is he?" Equivalent.
Trying to fix it.
Why is that guy playing with a kid's abacus from like the 18th century? What's happening here? What's he doing with this? Why is he staring inanely at this? Other than that, that's about it. I'm kind of waiting for a little bit of Summit's Duty to come along. We've had the launch, and that's all gone well and brilliant. And we've had a little snifter of some games that have caught our attention, but I'm waiting for that big juicy drop. I think COVID's had a little bit of an effect where we're not seeing the games come through as quick as we want. And when they come, I don't know, we probably kind of burnt out by backlogs or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I mean, Halo Infinite is the one for me. So we started playing through the Halo 4 campaign.
Did you get a sniff of the beta, you being an Xbox pillar and all that?
No. There is one coming up that I've signed up for. I don't know what the date is, though.
Now you've been on the show, guaranteed.
Oh, well, yeah. I've probably got emails flying through my phone right now.
Yeah, yeah. Steve Jobs, big fan of this show. Yeah, he's a mover and shaker of the business. So you signed up to the beta. Chances of that coming off? Small to low to high, what do you think?
I think we'll be in it. I think they're calling those flights as well.
Really?
Test flights.
That's cool. That is really cool. Well, have you got anything more to tell me about what you've been playing, or shall we move swiftly into what people?
I mean, Hades. I did try that, but couldn't get into that. I'm not sure if I'm missing something. It does look very, very pretty.
I think that what hooked me in initially was the visuals, and the gameplay is relatively simple. There's the dash mechanic there. It feels like a lot of these games. It feels like a little bit of a Housemarque game. They have this sort of rush in there that can avoid damage and other bits and bobs. But regardless of that, what hooked me in is when you die and you get back through to the start of the level again, the sound design, the way the music kicks in, it just sort of says, have one more go. And each time you play it, you do get more and more skills that all add on top of everything that you do. So the first time I got to the first boss, it took me ages. By the second or third time I got to the first boss, I was there in minutes. It felt like seconds had passed. So it's about cutting it down into these bite-sized chunks. And the only thing I guess I'm missing is playing more of it. I think it needs an hour of runs and then the next day an hour of runs and the next day. And I think it would just easily fall. Depends if you've got the patience for it. I sometimes verge on having it and then not having it.
I think I didn't do myself any favors by not really looking into what the game was before. I just knew everyone loved it and it showed up. And I thought, right, I'll have a go. And I didn't know it was... I didn't know about the runs of it, so I didn't realize that if I died, I'd be way back at the beginning again and like, right, so I've got to do that again, which is strange because it's exactly what happens in 12 minutes, and that didn't bother me, but I think I knew what I was getting going into 12 minutes.
Well, I think narrative-wise, you probably get something more rewarding from 12 minutes, whereas Hades, there is a narrative, it is voiced and written at times. It's not something that screams, this, you know, 12 minutes is instantly more relatable to the world that we have right now, and it's done in a more realistic fashion. So to me, that always buys in. Sometimes when I see games like Hades, yes, they're incredible, but they do have nods towards sort of 16-bit games and things like that, where if Hades had come out in the 16-bit, it would be an all-time classic and every copy would be worth like 4 million quid or something bonkers like that. But it's very much of a style of that era. And if you were keen on games like that in that era, I think Hades screams to you. If you weren't and fancied other games, then maybe, you know, we're all horses for different courses. Speaks to Games Pass, though. You got to try it out. Didn't cost you any money out of your pocket.
Yeah, and I think I did put that on a social media post. Without Games Pass, I wouldn't have picked that up to even try it, because it just wasn't on my radar. But I'd seen the buzz about it. It was there in the list. Why not? I'll give it an hour or so. If it doesn't work, that's fine. I haven't lost anything. I might find a new favorite game. You don't know.
You know, I'm really glad that you took your balaclava off at the start of this meeting, because until you did, I couldn't see you. And now you just look like this floating head. That's how good your active camo is. It's absolutely fantastic. A little bit scary. You could be stood at the foot of my bed. But I guess that's why you're a Warzone animal. Let me. do you want the first? I don't know. Are you the first? Is a reformed Wars thing is you're only one game away from falling back in.
I'm one game away from uninstalling entirely.
No, he speaks brave talk now. There's your hand hovering over the delete button for 6 hours. Toxis comes down. She's like, "You're all right."
That's not far from the truth, honestly.
Oh, if that isn't news, this is just scoured the very darkest region of the internet to bring you the latest stories first up. Now, would you like first dibs or would you like second dibs? You know how it goes.
I'll go second.
Okay, well, this story is a real slice of me. It's got some Japanese names in, so well avoided by Bobolo, but that's why he's a tactical veteran. Real Yakuza Triad War. Sega's famed industry icon Toshiro Nagoshi is about to be poached by Chinese company NetEase. That's according to Bloomberg, who are reporting that the Yakuza creator is in final negotiations to join the giant following a 32-year career in the Japanese publisher. It's speculated that Nagoshi will be given freedom to assemble his own team, where he will create new games and franchises. Chinese companies like Tencent and NetEase are desperately trying to scoop up international assets as regulations are slowing growth on the video game industry domestically. It's worth noting that Nagoshi is set yet to sign any contracts, but it sounds like his time at Sega is coming to an end. For now, the publisher declined to comment on the employment status of individual employees. We'll need to wait for more information, but it's probably safe to assume that Nagoshi will continue to make games in a similar style to Yakuza should he ultimately make the move. In more recent years, the veteran has worked as chief creative officer at Sega, overseeing all of its products, although he switched roles to creative director early this year. Have you, I think it goes without saying that I quite like the Yakuza games. This is a little bit concerning. One imagines that it might mean the games that he makes would still come. Will Sega continue with the franchise? Do you even care? Question mark. And it's okay not to, because I know it's a little bit niche.
I won't say I don't care. I think that's not very fair.
I mean, in the grand, if another Yakuza game didn't come out, it's not going to bother you, is it? That's what I mean.
I have played some of one Yakuza game. It's quite cool, quite quirky, visually.
That's very kind.
It's pretty cool, but it's not necessarily my genre, so I didn't really stick with it. It's always sad when someone so involved with a series does move on or has to change the way things are. Mm. I'm a big Gears of War fan, but after Cliffy B moved on, the series did change.
I agree, and in some ways, Cliffy, for me, was the embodiment of the franchise. And again, like, I understand why he might want to pursue other things and maybe do something other than Gears of War. But for me, Cliffy was a real face of Xbox. You know, I felt he was really part of the furniture. We veer off tangent, but bringing up Cliffy B cuts deep. Cliffy B is like a sex symbol of the Xbox brand, and look at him now. He organises Broadway shows.
It's a dramatic shift, but hey, he seems happy, and he's still very much involved with the community, which is nice. And he throws his opinions out there.
I saw him as like a Corey Balrog type figure, you know, and I thought that we might see more from him, but I don't think we're going to now, are we?
Not as a creative in video games, no. But he's still very much a fan of video games, and it's nice to see him get stuck in with the conversation.
It's probably nice that he just gets to play a game without, you know, when you've been, much as you are at Ponsonbury Estate, when you've been behind the curtain of the chocolate factory, that magic river isn't quite what it seems anymore. And yeah, God knows. Discord looking for a new community manager in the Discord.
How do I uninstall Discord again?
Just right click. Yeah, so it's a one man show from here on in. It's all cool. It is sad. It's kind of another nail in Sega's coffin as well, which I feel a bit sad for, because where are they going at the minute? They're floundering like a fish you've dragged up out of the ocean that you're not sure whether to kill or just slob back in. It's a bit embarrassing, really.
It is sad. I think. The majority of what I see from Sega these days is merchandise. There's the brand name slapped on everything, but I don't really see much more than that from where I'm sitting anyway.
Well, no, it's true. I mean, we're due a new Sonic game, and, you know, even if that's a 10 out of 10 game, which the likelihood of that being slim to none, if less than that, it's going to be average. That's probably not what we need, is it?
Not what Sega need.
No, thing is, it's scary because they can't throw down behind a new IP because they're probably never going to get it past the board, but that's kind of what they need to do. Anyway, another slice of news. Now we've mourned the loss. Well, he's not gone, is he? But Tencent and NetEase, I'm also a bit nervous that might end up being some sort of horrible, I don't know, mobile game.
I mean, that's Tencent's sort of forte, isn't it? And I think business-wise, they've done a cracking job. But
do you know what? It makes sense. But do you know, a mobile game, no disrespect to the people that are making them, someone proved me wrong, they don't have to be great. And if that ends up being a Yakuza-style cash-in where you need so many Yakuza dollars to continue playing that day, and no.
Mobile games for me, they're usually a quick fix. Kind of, I've got 15 minutes, what shall I play? And Yakuza isn't the kind of thing you just play for 15 minutes.
What if they turn
you've probably
Yakuza?
Got a cutscene for 15 minutes.
I see them turning it into some sort of weird tower defense game.
It might work.
There is a tower defense game in one of them, actually, where you control these guys. It's like gang warfare. We get very, very, very distracted, no doubt. Right. Hit me up with this solid second piece of news, which is right and proper as well.
Okay. Riders on the Storm. Hurricane Ida unfortunately began its strike on New Orleans over the weekend, leaving the city without power. And Microsoft Flight Simulator has become a popular destination to observe its path from the skies. If you didn't know, Microsoft Flight Sim features the ability to turn on real-time weather. And so Hurricane Ida has been replicated in-game with some incredible footage cropping up online as a result. As you can imagine, Hurricane Ida is getting all the attention in Flight Sim at the moment, with loads of players flocking to the location to see what it looks like. It's a breathtaking sight, without a doubt, albeit a pretty scary one. Give it a try for yourself. Don't forget, Microsoft Flight Simulator is included with Game Pass for Series X, Series S, and PC. And goes without saying that if you're in the New Orleans area, we hope you're staying safe right now.
Very true. I've seen some footage of some very powerful-looking winds and all that sort of jazz. But hopefully everyone's tucked up in their storm cellars and keeping safe. In the meantime, other people are embodying Twist a bit in a virtual reality way and going to the eye of the storm in Hurricane Ida via the miracle of Microsoft Flight Simulator. I can only... Are you doing that now? Are you going to get it, rush home and boot that up and fly in the... You're like, yeah, well, I'm right, I am.
It's morbid curiosity, isn't it? It's like driving past a car accident on the motorway. You have to look, but you think, I shouldn't be looking at this, surely. Someone's having a very bad day right now, and I'm almost enjoying it.
You're the reason why 2 hours back, I'm sort of stopping and starting. You're indecision about looking at the grotesque. You ghoul-like. Just that moment of fleeting dalliance of what should I, shouldn't I, means 4 hours back in a queue of traffic, I'm wondering, why are we queuing here? What's going on? That's, just so everybody knows, that moment of societal question where you're like, this is fundamentally the right or wrong thing to do, causes me to be late for work. Causes me to be late for a while. And yet, when I get there, I have the same crisis moment of like, do I or don't I? Because I've waited 4 hours for this. It better be good. Oh my God, his leg. You know, that's no. Okay.
Oh, that's grim.
Let's just all make the decision. Ice front. Okay. Let's give them their space. Let's just ice front. And then the traffic will flow.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favourite podcast platforms now.
It is it's a fantastic feature in the game, though. having the real-time weather to this level. And not just it's a bit overcast, but the detail is incredible.
The images I saw were mind-blowing. I was like, that's just great. That looks terrifying as it is if I was actually underneath it at that moment. That's the hounds. Gamekeeper's taking the hounds out. Nothing makes me happier than hearing them chase down a red-blooded fox. Don't
worry. So used to hit and mute as fast as possibly can.
We have them in here. They come in round me. They go out. A guy came through in a horse last week. I'm not bothered. I'm playing it cool. It's what lords do, apparently. Okay, so the hounds have been calmed. Probably got the taste of fox in the back of their jaws. I don't know what to say about that. Do you still have Simulator installed, or is that no, not now? I need space for other games.
Yeah, well, I've moved it to the external drive, so it's not playable, but I can just transfer it back across.
There they are again. They've got the smell of a red-tailed rodent skipping across the green. Well, it's probably safe to say that brings us to the end of the news. And you're all probably thinking, well, you know, you talk of this Discord, you talk of this Boba Loba. Thing is, George, you've missed out the biggest bit of news this week. You're an absolute flaming galah. I've got no idea why you're saying these bits of news. They're useless to us. But then you're probably thinking, well, how do I get in contact with you and let you know that you're missing? Or how you might want to interact with the wider community, which we're here to discuss today. Well, as always, all you got to do is head over to the socials. That's the Instagram or the Twitter. There are lots of places there to interact with us. You can comment on posts. You can look at our stories. You can look at whatever you want to. There's also a little drop-down box where that'll take you to the links, the content, the show, you already know about the iTunes because you're here. You already know about the Spotify because you're here. But it's the show's YouTube. And also, more importantly, the show's Discord where the conversation continues. Once the show's done, there's also the fabled email address that's now wired up to a piper that plays a host of random bagpipe tunes every time I get an email, which is wonderful. It's questions at unofficialcontrollerpodcast.com or DM us on Instagram or Twitter. Now you know where to go. Now you know what that's all about. It's time we talk to the man that hand-built with his very own hands something that looks like a temple. He hewn the marble with his own bare hands. That's how tough he is. That's right. A lot of men would need chisels. He just punched that rock into shape, Norris style. It's time for the feature. I don't know why, but for some reason, instead of renaming the feature, I've called it Is Gaming Too Addictive for a Younger Generation? That was last week's. This week's is an interview with Bo Baloba, the unofficial controller podcast community manager. Last week's topic was amazing. I implore everyone to go back. We're slowly getting on top of the sound issues. Today being the proof of that, one at a time. You know what? We've all crawled out of our hives. We've got so used to doing things virtually. I was living in New York. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. Don't you even look at me now. Okay. But breaking the fourth wall well and truly, we've got him here. I don't know if I can say any more kind words about him, but I think it was time to show a highlight more on the show's other side, the side that continues outside of the whatever hour and something that we give you on a weekly basis. We'll pro rata split it down, probably. It's still once a week. I like to think it's still once a week. We haven't slacked, you know. We've took a few hits, you know, but we're rolling with the punches. Bo Baloba, it's an absolute honour to have you here. What's it like now you're finally sat in Ponsonbury's, one of my, it's a bit hard to get used to, but one of my fine sitting rooms.
It's majestic.
Nice. Nice. You look resplendent in here. You almost look like you belong here more than me in a way. Your fine beard.
Yeah, the glow from the fire is really adding.
To the nuance. Yes. I like it on. I know it's summertime, but it's a little bit chilly. And it just takes the edge off. We brought you here. And we obviously did a post, as we always do, and we asked for the fans' comments. And we have some collected here, right in front of us. Why don't we take the time to tell you, before we dive into those, tell us a little bit more about why you decided to become a Discord guru as a hobby.
I've tried once or twice to set up a Discord and never really found its feet with them. But a little while ago, there was a call to arms and in the unofficial controller community. And there was an Instagram group chat where a few of us got together to help out a fellow listener, Daddy Zilla, in there. Help out him and his family while they were having a bit of a tough time.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
And that Instagram group chat got quite busy. Mm. It became a sort of a hub for all the listeners to get together and chat and share share what they were playing and just sort of continue the conversation of the podcast. And I think it made sense at the time for that conversation to move to a more suitable platform. And Discord existed, and I kind of knew how to make a basic server. So, yeah, we made the move across, and it's just, yeah, it's grown and grown.
Yeah, it has. And I like seeing, you know, faces that check in, you know, when you see faces pop up that you've not seen for a while and everybody on there, it's wonderful. And the fact that the very embryo of that was to do something very kind to another listener and for the listener and another member of the community is beautiful. From small acorns to mighty oak trees grow. I have one more question for you before we take the first listener question. What makes you get dressed up as Steve? And was that you on the periphery of this, or was that you actually being orchestrating member in the world's largest gathering of Steves from Minecraft? And did Norris McWhirter, the questions keep tumbling from my mind the more I think about this. Did Norris McWhirter or some similar guy have to sort of say, do you know what, Miss, you know, here's Bo Baloba, your costume cuts it. You know, you qualify as a Steve, you're in. This dude, all right, I see you're having a go, pal, but you're not quite the full ticket out.
Exactly that. To qualify as a Steve, you've got to be wearing blue jeans, a blue t-shirt, untucked on one side, and your eyes need to be blue. So we had the big cardboard box Minecraft Steve heads.
Yes.
But they don't come with coloured eyes. So there were hundreds of people frantically grabbing blue pens and colouring in blue on the eyes of these cardboard heads.
Wow. Okay. How many of you said Steve's gathered and where?
I can't actually remember the exact number, but it was at it was a Minecraft convention, cleverly titled Minevention, in Peterborough, I think it was. It's back in 2015, I think. And we got wind of this Guinness World Record attempt of the most Steves gathered. So yeah, it was.
All was quiet in the Boboloba household one morning. Suddenly, ping, pops up. Local activity, reasonably local, Peterborough. Come as a Steve. Everyone in the Boboloba family sat up bolt upright like The Undertaker. We must go. Or was there a builder? Was it more like a, in 3 weeks' time?
There was a bit of a build-up, yeah. We had a few weeks to prepare, so we bought the t-shirts and we got the cardboard heads and whatnot.
I love
and,
it.
And we went as a family of four, all dressed as Steve. And yeah, it was fantastic. We got a lot of looks from the people there. Even though there were lots of Steves walking around, I think it was seeing a family of four walking together, all varying heights, was a sight.
That's the sort of thing that haunts my nightmares post YouTube stream, I should imagine. Let me everyone Steve. It's a little bit like what's that film? Malkovich being John Malkovich when he actually goes in his own tunnel and he comes out and everyone's saying Malkovich, Malkovich. I feel seeing a family of Steves might be a little bit of a Malkovich, Malkovich moment for me. Let me ask you this question.
337, by the way.
337?
337 Steves.
We can do better than that. Have you got a certificate?
I haven't, no. There weren't individual certificates, but...
could you apply for one if you could prove you were there?
I suspect you could. That's my only involvement in Guinness World Records, so I don't know the final details.
The downstairs toilet of the Boboloba household, or possibly the garage, framed, okay? One side... the UCP script that you're reading from today, the other side, your Guinness World Record, perfection personified.
Yeah, the game we had the opportunity to meet the wonderful Jason Bradbury as well. He stopped for a photo with us.
Anything for Insta, that Jason?
Oh, absolutely. I do repost Insta. It from time to time and tag in to make sure I get the fist bump emoji from him.
Who was that again, wifey? That was the Steve guy. Oh yeah, great fist bump, Steve. Boom, right? Whoever that is, he's on Minecraft. Oh, whatever. Okay, are they sponsoring me? No. Okay. The gaming dot grabs. There's not a question, but I just wanted to say a big thanks to Boboloba. Without his awesome work on the Discord, I wouldn't have been able to get involved and chat to the great people who follow the podcast, himself included. And now this really rings true. A true gentleman, if ever there was one. Let's round that up. Let's pull him in with a good cop. Let's kick him in the intestinals with this one. Finster Gamer. Oh, God, not this guy. I thought this podcast was a high-class affair. Firstly, I'd like to know what upcoming games he's looking forward to. So, yes, Finster Gamer, he's willing to slap you, doth sir, with a glove and throw it down. But then immediately... once he's hurt you, he wants to bring you in close and ask you what game you're looking forward to most. And also, if now this must be some Warzone or this division-based antics, and pray tell what this is all about. Hopefully it's not one of those inside jokes that really falls flat on his face. But, you know, let's go with it. Also, if someone had a pet chicken, hypothetically, of course, would he steal that and hide that chicken? If so, why would he do such a thing? So question one, no, the only question that matters, God damn it. Why would you, Boboloba, If someone had a pet chicken, hypothetically, of course, would you steal and hide that chicken? And if you would, this is the gaming question people came for. Why would you do such a thing?
Okay, so if someone had a pet chicken, why wouldn't you hide it?
Because it's not my pet.
I suppose we need some context to this.
Yes. Just random saying, I'm stealing his chicken. Why? Well, why not? Well, it's certainly not your property. It's that man's animal. Why? Give me some pretext here. What? Give me some parentheses.
Sea of Thieves.
Yes.
It is possible to find a chicken in a small cage, and you can carry said chicken in small cage. Finstergamer, while we were having a session on Sea of Thieves, decided to bring a chicken onto the ship and just park it next to him while he was steering the boat.
Uh-huh.
While he was steering the boat, I decided to take the chicken and put it somewhere else on the boat.
So there's nothing hypothetical about this at all. You stole a man's chicken and you chose to hide that man's chicken. And why would you do such a thing? Because why not? It's a man's chicken.
It gets worse. It gets worse.
Why would it get worse? It can't get worse.
Because our ship got attacked and the ship was sinking. And Finstergamer hadn't found his chicken. Batmull, on the other hand, had found the chicken and was doing his very best to save it. All the while, the galleon is sinking further and further under the water.
It doesn't get any worse, does it? Does the chicken survive?
No.
Hell not! Batmull's down there giving it CPR, for God's sake.
I'm fairly certain Batmull was then attacked by something else in the water.
Oh, no. Is Sea of Thieves a good game to have in the rotation?
It is. And I only discovered this about 3 weeks ago, mainly because we were looking for an alternative to our Warzone get-togethers. We were all getting a little bit tired of the rinse and repeat of Warzone, so we threw on Sea of Thieves and set sail. Turns out we had a great time. So, it's a nice one to have there in the arsenal.
Well, the work experience boy loves it. He started on the periphery and then he got further in. To be fair, Minecraft Dungeons has completely got him. He's going full Excel spreadsheet on that bad boy, much to my delight yet disappointment all at the same time. Okay, with that said and done, he's a chicken rustler. If chicken chaser from Fable. That's exactly what you are. Pick your hero name, Chicken Chaser. Secondly, this podcast has never aimed to be a high-class affair. We're decidedly lower than average at best, but we come with the cleanest and kindest of hearts. What is the game you're most looking forward to? In fact, we're allowed multiple, because he's given you a stroke of games.
Well, Halo Infinite. Certainly. I've been a fan of Halo for quite a long time, although I did sort of move away from the campaigns and whatnot. But Halo 3 multiplayer is a big part of my gaming history.
Nice.
So it's sort of, there's a lot of love for that series. So yeah, I played the one of the betas for it early, got a little bit of a taste for it. I'm looking forward to a more fleshed out experience on that one. Trying to think. Really, I'm just, now that I'm free from the Warzone grind, I'm enjoying going back through the pile of shame and just getting stuck into games that I've ignored, really.
More recent ones, or possibly like your whole gaming history?
The Division 2, for example, that's a 2-year-old game now.
That retro.
Exactly. So I've only just got stuck into that. I'm just looking forward to seeing things pop up on Game Pass so I can try something new and more Sea of Thieves, more Halo, more Division.
Can I recommend Minecraft Dungeons?
You can.
Ignore it, like most people do recommendations. Can I recommend this? Oh yeah, great. Yeah, Sauna Watts Lyrical for 6 hours. Best thing I've ever seen or played. Amazing, changed my life. Oh right, you get home that night. Can't think of anything to watch. Shall I? No. No. I'll watch this thing I've already watched six times. Okay, next question. Cat's kind of got his tongue, but C. Pliskin, he hasn't written War and Peace this time. Just a small little thing from the embodiment of the Irish beef industry. He says, the man responsible for giving George an excuse to go all gruff in his voice. Absolutely right. And another reminder that if I haven't visited the group, I haven't visited the group Discord just yet. No. I want to organise, some would say it's alienating, but I want to organise a gross campaign against C. Pliskin. Harangue him in his DMs, comment on his posts, join the Discord ceaselessly until he breaks. There's no ifs, buts, or maybes. He's done a sweaty emoji. I don't quite know why. Maybe he likes me doing your gruff voice.
Who doesn't?
Personally. I do find the service to be very cumbersome to work with compared to something like WhatsApp, which has a similar but cleaner interface, I believe. Well, we'll cut back to Bob Lober on that. With that said, I do have some questions for Mr. Lober. He's showing respect. I appreciate this guy. How were you first introduced to the podcast? Oh my God, it's probably because I harangued him or something. And secondly, when were you given the title of community manager? I just throw these things out like lucky bags. And what are your roles as such?
Okay.
Rewind to the beginning. Is Discord like WhatsApp? Or is WhatsApp better than Discord? I don't believe they are similar at all.
They are similar to the extent of you can send each other messages and pictures. But I think I don't even know how to describe Discord, to be
Discord
perfectly honest.
Is, you can have a couple of private messages going on WhatsApp, and that's great, and you can have everybody contributing. But the beauty of the Discord to me is there's multiples of those that anybody can dip in and out of. So you've got general nonsense where people are talking the usual things that they talk about. Then you've got specifically maybe the game of the month section where people are talking about the game that we voted for and they're playing retro and modern. And then there's the listener stingray and the what you've been playing and the culinary delights where people post up their food that they've made or they've eaten or they've got a surprising new IPA or whatever it is that I got. I don't need to eat when I go in culinary delights, by the way. So I stay ravishingly thin. I just go in there and I'm like, well, Finch has made some wonderful looking creation there. And I get to see it all as well. There's the whole flour everywhere. I don't need to make any mess in the kitchen. I go on a side ramble. But you don't get that from a WhatsApp group message, do you?
And I think the beauty of the Discord is you can join in or you can ignore it if it's not for you. So we have things like a sports section. So you can talk about the football match that was on that day. If sport's not your thing, you don't need to read it. It filters it out for you. You can join in as much or as little as you want in there.
I think that's probably the biggest joy, isn't it? Which is a similar but cleaner interface. Well, see, Pliskin, we're going to argue that you're wrong. So that's another excuse knocked off the table. First question. It's the second question, but here's the first question. When were you first introduced to the podcast?
I can tell you exactly when I was first introduced.
Tell me.
May 23rd, 2019.
Feels like an awfully long time ago. What happened on May the 23rd, 2019?
I posted on Instagram a photograph of some Nintendo keyrings that I'd just picked up and was quite pleased with. And some chap called Unofficial Controller Podcast, which is a bizarre name for a human being, but he commented and said that I should tag Stingray's Boot and have my post mentioned on his podcast.
Hang on a minute. Are you telling me the part of the show that Tom dislikes the most actually brought to us Bob Lober?
It did indeed.
Tom, I've seen people's heads on sticks for less. Shameful. We're bringing back the listener stingray. It's happening.
And that comment was followed by a series of likes on all of my posts in a desperate attempt to get my attention.
Oh, the shame. Thing is, they were good. I bet I only like the gaming related ones. Or did I light the one of a candlelit dinner for you and Toxis outside of somewhere? Yeah. No, don't. Oh, no. Well, it's nice to have you here. You could have thought such small interactions could start such wonderful waves of crescendo as this.
You know, sometimes you've got to get out of your comfort zone, haven't you?
Yeah. So that's how and when I was introduced to the podcast.
And when were you given the title of community manager? This is where you've also, I've got the day and date for this as well. Well, I bet you could actually.
August 4th, 2021.
What are your roles? Self-policing roles, may I say. I'm a very hands-off kind of guy. I let people do what they need to do, whatever you need to do, however you need to do it.
So, yeah, so off the back of, like I said earlier, the Instagram group that then became a Discord server, I've just been learning the ropes of Discord, figuring out what works best for our server, based on other servers that I sort of am a member of. So well-established servers from other content creators that have been playing the Discord game for a much longer time. I take the bits that seem to work well and translate well. And
so it would it be right now to, these are the Discords you talk of, one of them, I presume, is XBM. Is that correct?
Yeah, although the XBM Discord, it doesn't really do much. There's, I think Discord is best suited to content creators' platform, such as a podcast or a streamer or a YouTuber.
Ah, yes, okay.
We're more of a XBM. We're more of an aggregation of those things. So the Discord was more of an extension of the Twitter, which is where we do most of our talking. So yeah, it didn't really work well for that platform.
Where would people need to go to get access to XBM and all its goodies?
Pretty much.
Excuse me.
Blimey.
It's the dust. I don't have enough people in here. Okay.
Yeah, so Twitter and Instagram, it's XBM_network. And then on YouTube, I think it's, I don't actually know off the top of my head now, I think it's XBM Network with no spaces.
Listen, they'll find it.
They'll find it.
They'll find it.
You type XBM Network and you typically find it.
One of the things that I always found with XBM Network is the branding is absolutely on point. And I do believe that your branding's so on point that people can't differentiate between you and actually Xbox.
Yes, we have had the odd comment from time to time asking us why we haven't implemented certain features or released certain games, or they like to tell us that the games with gold titles are terrible and we need to try harder.
As you should.
But we... Yes, we get probably the negative feedback for Xbox does seem to come our way a lot of the time, but we do get tagged in amongst official channels as well, which is nice.
Let me ask you, as a more Xbox-centric gamer, do you, now you're full Games Pass, obviously you still also get access to games with gold. Now on PlayStation, you get your PSN games of the month, and they feel more of a priority because maybe Games Pass doesn't exist as per se on that brand. But because you've got Games Pass, do you kind of look past the games with gold, or do you still add every single one to your library because you never know when a rainy day might come and you want your money's worth?
I do generally add them and then maybe cancel the download. But occasionally, yes, something comes up, you think, I remember that coming out. I never got a chance to have a go at that. I'll add it to the library. And
games with gold exist, if you didn't have Games Pass, if that lapsed for whatever reason that you could separate the two out, and I believe you still can.
Yeah.
You could still play your games with gold, or do you need to have, could you have no internet activity at all and still play them, or does it need an upload? If you download them to your machine, are they yours, or do you need an active membership?
They're yours as long as you have an active gold membership.
So yeah, it's the
not
same.
Not a Game Pass membership, but definitely
the
gold.
Actual gold.
Yeah.
And then the only other question I have is, and I can't seem to find one for this, is they stagger them as well. So I'm like, oh, yeah, Games of Gold. Oh, yes, there's that. I saw the four. This is it this week? I don't know. I'll go and check. So why is that? why not just go, here's four games, you're going to get them anyway for the whole month, here's your big window, get them downloaded. Have they ever given a reason?
If they have, I haven't seen it, but I've also not looked for it. I just thought it was a bit odd, but I tend to look at things like that and just accept them and move on.
Yeah, I sometimes like...
There must be a reason.
Like, yeah, why? I wonder if it's... I kind of came to the idea that it might be, here's one game this week, so everyone gets on the Twitter and they play their games for gold, although it's kind of been... Maybe that effect's been diminished a little bit by Games Pass. And if you're a hardcore gamer or gamer with a lot of time, you could probably get a game done in a week, an average size game. And then boom, your next one comes along and then you can get on the hype with a game of gold game two. So I wondered if it was that.
I think it's the first of the month and it's the 16th of the month. So the halfway point. So maybe it is to give you a chance to play two of them and move on.
Because
but they do overlap. So you
let me describe to you my personality. Easter, got all my eggs. Amazing. My sister gets the same amount. Okay. The day before Easter next year, my sister's finishing off her last egg. Before Easter meal, before Easter Sunday's Sunday lunch equivalent, I have destroyed every single remnant of chocolate on planet George. It's gone.
You've become one with the chocolate.
I became one with the chocolate and then won't have any more for a year. Our Xbox actually trying to be kind and help us to make our last of the petty cash last. I actually think that's quite good. In a way, even the same could be said of PSN and Nintendo. With the free games that they give you or access to as a result of the monthly membership for online play, you don't actually, if you're not particularly picky or particularly invested in any franchise and just want to play games for the sake of playing games, you could get away with just gold.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I think... up until recently, obviously, when I was spending most of my time on something like Warzone, Game Pass wasn't a necessity. Mm. It was a nice to have, but
yeah.
wasn't a necessity, especially with Warzone going completely free to play as well, because Xbox, for whatever reason, still required the gold subscription for those games. But
they've got rid of that, though.
They've got rid of that. So, yeah, it was...
Well done, everyone. Took a great opportunity for them to save some money that ended up costing them money, because all of a sudden now everyone who wants to play Fortnite gets two for free. It was a wise consumer move, but completely the opposite of what they were trying to achieve in the boardroom, one would imagine.
Very much, yeah.
I thought Games Pass was awesome, mate. It is, boss, but we want to move these things around with gold, get away from that, get everyone channeled into that. Fine, do it. Boss, everyone's kicked off. What's it going to cost us? It's going to be a billion. Oh, my giddy aunt. Okay, next question. Ginger's Games Room. I want to know what app... Now, he wants to know what your favourite game of all time is and why. And if it's not Clay Pigeon on the Spectrum or Amstrad, tell me why that is as well. Tell me why that isn't as well.
Favourite game of all time. The game that pops to mind before anything else is Gears of War 3.
That's an interesting call.
I mean, I love the Gears of War franchise, and the original trilogy is one of the best series there's never been. And I think Gears 3 just perfectly rounded out that trilogy. It was epic. It looked fantastic. It was emotional, and it tied off that storyline really, really nicely.
And correct my memory, Cliffy B was in for all first three games?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just to expand on the Gears of War thing as well, there's a series of books that sort of tie in with that storyline. So they weave
extended
in between.
Extended media, by the way.
And it's fantastic, yeah. So there's sort of books that sit between the games, and they also give you more backstory to all the characters as well. So the whole universe for me is incredible, and being able to explore different media to expand that was a real treat.
If now the team that looks after making the games for Gears of War now are called the Coalition, is that right?
Yeah.
Are they going to make Gears of War games forever? Haven't we stopped that mud hole dry?
I think there needs to be at least one more. I'm guessing they wanted to do another trilogy.
What would happen to Coalition after that?
It's hard to say, really. I guess they could keep going and flogging a potentially dead horse.
As a man who's into the extended media of Gears and it being your favourite game of all time, do you think there could be other stories to tell in the universe that maybe a casual Gears of War fan, like I've played the first three, I think, and dabbled with a couple of the other ones. Is there another team or another bigger battle on the other side of the planet that may be able to be as exciting, if not more? Is there a wider spread?
Potentially, yeah, definitely. I mean, that's what the books did to an extent. So you met some sort of NPCs in the trilogy, and their stories were dug into with the books.
Mm.
So you got to see their side of the fight.
Yes.
And obviously with the second trilogy, it sort of revolves around Marcus's son and that team. And I guess you could keep doing that for as long as you wanted. You could keep the fight going. There could always be a new threat for them to invent.
What's the backstory? Because it always struck me they were awfully militaristic, ready and waiting for this locust emergence that they never saw coming and didn't know about.
Mm.
Who was the enemy prior to the locust? Were we fighting each other in the Gears of War?
Yeah, there were civil wars and that kind of thing. I think they referred to as the Pendulum Wars.
Yes, that's
so again, like the books. They have two timelines in the books. So one chapter will be the Pendulum Wars and the next chapter will be the current fight.
Yeah.
And you'll find that the two sort of mirror each other in a lot of ways. So there's sort of scenarios they're going through. It's like, we've been here before, just with a different enemy.
Wow. And that's
that's how the books generally worked. So
Is it the extended media that's made it your favourite franchise of all time, or if that didn't exist, it would be anyway?
I started on the books, I think, after the second game. I went back and sort of read through them. So I didn't read the books in order, sort of the timeline. I read them all together and just had to kind of look up, that this book is in between one and two. This one's straight after two and that kind of thing. That definitely added to it. The trilogy on its own, still definitely my favorite game series, but being able to go into the sort of the extended universe is brilliant.
Mm.
Okay. Well,
I think that's something that can be said for Gears and Halo. They both carry an awful lot of extended canon media. Maybe you look at Sony. Can Drake supported extended media? I'm sure you could crack a novel or two out, but it'd be a little bit probably not as good to dig into as the sci-fi grit of the civil Pendulum Wars and there's some real meat to that, which actually works into an extended universe and the tech, and you could do a DK dictionary book of the tech of Gears of War. You could, though, and same for the Halo universe. And I think it would be great. They've probably already done one, let's face
there
it.
There's a lot of Halo books out there, but I think they're sort of standalone stories a lot of the time in the same universe. So
I guess Spartan's John 117 is probably off limits, isn't he? Because if you paint him into a corner in a book, you can't use him in a game, and that would be a bit daft. Another message, co-host of the show, or sometime co-host of the show, currently on a sabbatical. He's decided to open up an orange plantation just south of Madrid. He's took his money from El Bucho. He's gone a little bit feral. Anyway, still listens. He still has questions. Here's a question for you. You can play, and he likes this question. He's asked me this question. It's his hot take question. You can play one system for the rest of your life and are granted the entire library. And I think we've also had this as a question on the show, which you've probably answered. But what system would you choose? And why? And does it ever alter from time to time? Now that we've got you live, dependent on your mood.
I have two answers for this question. Depends how pedantic the person asking wants to be.
Well, let's for the moment imagine Bobby's being very pedantic. Because that probably is this the Games Pass solution that you're bringing forth? The final solution.
You know me too well.
Okay. Let's rest that down here in a little. Let's rest that in a small dog bed called Games Pass, just for now. What's the second answer if Bobby's saying no, you can't use that cop out?
Well, I guess I actually have three answers, but we'll go with the Super Nintendo.
Okay.
I absolutely loved that console. That was my first console. It was a Spectrum in the house and I played that. That was my introduction to gaming, but the Super Nintendo was mine. And
thing is, now, this is why I need to clarify. You say Super Nintendo, fantastic. There's some great games on that system, okay? And there's probably more games on that system than you've got hours to play and complete all of. But are you telling me you're going to put away all of your toys and you've got this awesome, they're in mint condition as well. Super, every box, manual, everything's there. Every accessory, all on one wall. But you play nothing but Super Nintendo. And you think that will scratch your gaming itch?
Well, I approach retro gaming very much as a nostalgia hit. So right. If I had no other option, I'm sure I'd be perfectly content. If I knew other options were out there and I didn't go for them, I might be a little bit disappointed after a couple of days of thinking, actually, it's not great by today's standards. But
yeah,
I guess...
You see, when I answer the question, I try and answer it more from a functioning addict's point of view. It's like, yeah, you know, I have the nostalgia for Atari ST, but would I want, like, it'd be great to have all those games, and yeah, wow, but really, there's some RTSs on there, but no. What era just about gets away with it?
I think
360.
Yeah, the sensible option for me would be the 360.
I think that's safe. I think that's a good option for
still,
any game.
Still looks great. Plays great because that's sort of the controller mechanics were refined at that generation.
Yeah.
So yeah, things played well and looked great, and the library's enormous.
Yes, it is.
whether it's PS3 or 360, that generation, yeah, I think you could get away with playing that for a very, very long time. That's the sensible option. The nostalgic option would be the SNES, because I adore that console and I wish I had more games for it. So.
I had a SNES growing up, but when I've talked about this ad endem probably, but when I got to be an older collector, I wanted to go down the route of the Mega Drive because it's the one I aspired to own, not the one I had. And the games felt edgier and darker and all that sort of stuff. Do you find, and still to this day, for the most part, collecting for Sega is relatively cheap. I don't know why it hasn't spiked. And I'm kind of glad it hasn't crazily spiked. Like, yeah, there are the odd games that are worth a stupid amount of money. But if you want to play Sonic, you can. And it'll be boxed and it'll look great. Is that a downside to collecting Nintendo, do you think? The price of everything, even a rubbish game on cart, is...
It's definitely what slowed me down. When I got back into... Well, not got back into... When I got into retro collecting, like I said, it's more of a nostalgia hit. So it was like, I remember playing that game. I loved it. I'm going to grab it, play it for an hour or two, and probably not play it again for a long time.
Yes.
But then seeing the price of just even a loose cart being double figures easily, it was like, I'm just going to be very selective now of what I pick up for this platform. So my retro collection is relatively small because I'm very, very selective. And it's mainly a discussion piece. And it's nice to look at. I have it sort of all laid out, all the consoles laid out. But I don't use them a huge amount because the library isn't very big, you know, in my collection. And yeah, the price of it is insane.
Is there a Moby Dick to your collection do you think that you see on eBay? It surfaces and it's like, oh, that's at a relatively good price, I'll bid, and then it dives down deep and all the collectors start bidding up big money and it surfaces and it's £1 million, you're like, damn it, I can never have that. Is there a game you had that you wanted or that you wanted then that never had that seems to elude you and is your Moby Dick?
I don't think I necessarily have anything like that. I have a short list for most platforms of games I'd like to pick up at some point. And usually when birthdays and Christmases roll around, I'll say, either chuck me some cash and I'll try and get this, or this is the thing I'd like.
What's number one on that list right now?
Oh, God. I can't think off the top of my head because I've not been sort of in the retro collecting sort of space for a little while. I've not really thought about it. I can't even see my list anymore. I did have it somewhere around here on this computer, but good old spreadsheet.
I carry it in notes on my phone.
I think,
which I never update, so I've bought games twice.
The Mario Party games for the GameCube. Part 5, I think. That's definitely on the list, and that's sort of that price kind of hops up every now and then. But I'd also need a couple more controllers, so the price then jumps a little bit more. So I think the GameCube is probably at this point one of my favorite retro consoles because it's quite versatile, and the four player and
yes,
and that kind of thing. I think it's probably the easiest way for me to get the kids to get involved in sort of older gaming.
It's a very family-friendly machine, actually.
So if I had to pick something, probably we'll go with like Mario Party 5 and two controllers, please.
Okay. Well, now we know. Next question. Next question. It's Toxis. Your beloved, you're asking this guy. She's not very into your abilities, is she? I'm disappointed in her. And has she managed to get through Downton Abbey, or did she give it a go and then spat it to the floor like a lemon?
Spat it to the floor is probably a bit mean. She was watching a lot while she had COVID. So she was laid up in bed staring at the TV all hours of the day. So she was rattling through things, and she gave in to the peer pressure from you, I think.
Another fan of the greatest show on God's earth.
I don't know how far she got, to be perfect.
Do you know
honest.
What I've got to? I've got to this point now, because it's on Netflix now. Starting an episode, allowing the content to play even though the phone's locked, getting in the car, putting it on as an audio drama.
Oh.
One asked the question, is this too much?
So the title of last week's show is Gaming Too Addictive for a Younger Generation?
Is Downton Abbey Too Addictive for a Middle-Aged Generation? Yes. Yes, I believe it is. Last question, as my embarrassment rises. It's Retro Gamer Thomas. He says, firstly, well, we know the answer to this, but it's based around some strange stalker man. Firstly, I'd love to know how you first heard or saw the podcast. Basically, such a strange stalker man. We don't need to go over this. We need to invent a myth that replaces the actual true story. Like I sort of swung in and saved you from a road traffic accident or something similar. Did you realize it was being recorded just up the road? Plus, how many amazing mugs do you own? He goes on to say, Boboloba, absolute legend, does an incredible job on the Discord and an awesome guy. Hear, hear. Everyone echoes. Everyone of you seem to even bump into occasionally. Some random man down Tesco's seem to fall at your feet in adorning love for your kind spirit. How does it feel to know that Farmerton is literally a mere stone's throw from your own residence?
I think that adds to the magic, and I think that's part of what drew me in to begin with. It's like, oh, this is local, this is nice, this is basically, this came from where I'm from.
Does it smell Lincolnshire? Is it obvious?
From time to time, I think you'll probably drop in a bit of dialect or some plum loaf.
From time to time. R2 has been known to be wrong from time to time. Okay. What about your amazing mugs? Because you seem to have a plethora of mugs. Much like myself, you seem to be a fan of a good ceramic drinks container.
I am a fan of a mug, although I don't currently have many. I don't know. I think there's a... Maybe I've created a misconception there. Obviously,
one man's not many is another man's bristling mug tree.
I have the fine Unofficial Controller podcast mug.
Available. Contact us. Felt like Del Boy then. Oh, we're cheating. Oh, man.
And then my Captain America mug is probably my daily driver.
Has that now a chance? Your daily driver. Are you a daily driver user that likes to see a buildup of a patina inside, or are you a I want to scrub this until it's crystal clean?
Oh, I will use the same mug throughout the day without even so much as rinsing it out, especially at work in the office.
What if we roll into day two here? What's the state of the mug in now?
Day two is, well, I think what tends to happen is you make that first drink on day two, and if there's added texture, then you know there's a problem.
Over Christmas, I played fast and loose with the rules of what was acceptable with a mug. And I quite like, if I can't be bothered to fire up the proper coffee machine, I quite like that Nescafe barista stuff. What's it called? Mm. Al Jazeera? That's a radio. That's a TV station. It's not Al Jazeera.
Azure.
Let's call it that. Let's just play safe and call it Azure's.
Microsoft Azure.
It's Microsoft Azure. Great coffee. But it leaves like a film. And over time, this film can build to be quite intrusive into the mug.
I mean, people drink fresh orange with bits. So why can't you have coffee with bits?
I don't think I can ever drink a coffee of Java ever again, a cup of Java ever again. I came for game talk, Discord talk. What they're getting is...
Just back to the mug thing. At work in the office, mug is a ZX Spectrum mug. Just to add that in there.
Is that because it's too obscure for them to get and you can proudly champion your gamer roots? Or are you a room full of nerds where that gets you some sort of unsolicited extra credit as nerd credit?
I work in a software house, so it's full of nerds.
Does that make you king nerd? Who's got the best mug at the software house?
My line manager does have a Jeff Goldblum mug.
He's not mucking about. He went for a nuclear option straight out of the bat, didn't he? So, what's that mug you're drinking out of? Oh, it's ZX Spectrum. I think you're a geek, do you? Son of a bitch. He went home that night. He's like, what can I... Life. Always finds a way. Perfect. Inspiration. He was straight there. I think we would say that's all the questions. Mm. Let me ask you this. Do you have any questions for me?
No pressure. Any questions? Well... I've been staring at this screen for I don't know how long now. I am wondering what that platinum-looking disc is behind you.
Ah, everyone likes that. It is Wet, 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 popped in, sold out, platinum record. Presented in recognition of sales within the UK.
Nice.
There you go.
I do enjoy a bit of Wet, Wet, Wet from time to time. I'm not ashamed to say.
No, I tell you what, you grow up in the right era. Wishing I was lucky in Angel Eyes will actually bring a smile to your face.
I don't believe there's such thing as a guilty pleasure. So.
Just a pleasure.
Just a pleasure. If it makes you happy, that's fine. Hmm. Don't feel guilty.
The Unofficial Controller podcast now advocates heroin.
It's fine.
Talking to a man who advocates every illicit action that you could possibly imagine is Stingray. What's he been up to this week? I'll tell you what he's been up to. He's been setting up cut-price Audi-like Discord servers up and down the UK for a host of Hokey Cokey podcasts in the hope that he can garner as much respect in the Discord server industry as our mighty guest. Well, unfortunately, this time, Stingray, you're failing, son. There's no way you can pull off this class and elegance. Not with a mullet like that. At least that's how I see him. Let's find out how Bobolos are seeing him. It's time for a peek in what we affectionately call Stingray's boot, what's nestled between some counterfeit nappies and a dodgy copy of Battle Friend all this week. These are the new release highlights for the week, August 30th to September 5th, 2021. Listeners, these are out digital or physical, or will be by the time this podcast is in your feed, but could be. I'm not joking, my brother. These could be region dependent. Springs, stops, sprattle roll, rock and roll, dust has settled, smoke has cleared. I see a man in denim, a little bit like Paul Carf, pulling very sharply on a Lambert. May I ask you, first of all, do you see a man at the back of a Nissan Bluebird?
You could say that, yes.
What do you see him as?
So I actually see him as a distorted image on an old CRT that's been wheeled out on one of those little side tables with the shelf underneath it.
How the hell did that climb out the driver's seat?
Well, a man dressed as what I can describe as a history teacher wheeled it out.
Where did he come from?
Well, he came from the other side of the car.
I tell you what, this is outrageous. I'm now conversing with a CRT on a trolley. This
it shouldn't be possible, but it's happening.
What people should be questioning is, why is he in the parlour? Why is he in the sitting room? Have you had a chance yet to peek into his aged Nissan and have a little rifle through his wonderful selection of games? Have you picked out a Mummy Mummy, and do you have a UMD Mummy Mummy?
I have had a brief look at the games, and I think I know which one I'm going to go with.
Okay.
And yeah, I've found the UMD.
What's the whereabouts on the list as yours feature?
It is third from the end. 1, 2, 3.
Interesting. Okay. Well, mine's going to be number 6. So you look like you need to start, sir. I'm sure we'll work it out.
Good grief. So we have the Book of Travels on PC, August 30th.
Question. Before you get fully stuck in, I know I pull these questions out at the most random of times. Is this a bizarre experience for you?
Yes.
You're going to no doubt listen back to this in your normal listening position, and you will be inserted in the position. You're now also touching the hallowed script. The words I can't even read out yet are written right in front of my very eyes. Denominated, not only can I not read, but I almost can't type.
I haven't actually decided if I'm going to listen back to this one.
Oh, you must.
I mean, I'll probably press play and leave it playing somewhere else so that the listen counts.
You don't need to do that.
But I don't know if I'm going to actually be able to listen to this or not. We'll see.
Now you feel my pain. Tell me more, and everyone listening, about Book of Travels.
Okay, so on PC, August 30th, ready your pack, grab your walking stick, and step into a world of mystery and legend. Craft a unique character and immerse yourself in the enchanted lands of Braided Shore. Set your own goals and adventure alone or together with travelers you meet on the road in this serene Tomobica.
You know, what even is that? I'm going to go with this next dusty title I'm pulling out the back. It's The Big Con on PC, Xbox Series X and Xbox One. Comes out on August 31st. Hustle your way across 90s America as a runaway teen con artist. Choose how to make your scratch as you don disguises, pick pockets, and rip people off in this comedic crime-filled adventure. Experience the totally rad 90s in all its played and payphone glory. that actually looked all right, but I just couldn't quite work out where the game was in it. But go try it.
Rad. Okay, next we have Crown Trick on PS4 and Xbox One, August 31st. Enter a labyrinth that moves as you move, where mastering the elements is key to defeating enemies and uncovering the mysteries of this underground world. With a new experience awaiting every time you enter the dungeon, let the power bestowed by the crown guide you in this challenging adventure.
It's coming, disguise, Stingray, but I think you're bringing on another roguelike. Stop it now. Sorry, roguelike likers. That was Crown Trick. This is Kiwi, huh?
I never even thought before.
I see what they're doing here. They've written the word key as in the thing you unlock a house with, and then the word W-E at the end, which I have to admit is quite nice. Oh, and oh my God, they're Kiwis as well. This gets better. Kiwi, PC, PS5, Xbox Series X, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch, August 31st. Kiwi, as in Kiwi, is a cute cooperative postal puzzler starring Jeff and Deborah, two small Kiwi birds working in a whimsical post office. They must jump, flap, peck, and butt slam their way across an interactive landscape of levers, bells, buttons to get those messages delivered on time. Do you know,
I've changed my mind. I want this one.
Of course you do. You're a man of taste. Maybe you'd known. It was a strange... Oh, I don't even know where to put myself after that. Game of the year.
You had me at butt slam.
I think I had myself at...
Stop
peck.
It.
Anyway, what's next out the boot?
Okay, so Monster Harvest.
A game PC, that PS4. Really lives on the fact that a preteen might want Monster Hunter, but probably gets impatient when they type it into the search engine. Monster Harvest, was that it? Yeah, it'll do. It's about the same price.
The Aldi special.
Oh, mummy, what have I done? You wait till you see it. It's actually quite an interesting concept. I shall rob you of your time no more.
Okay, Monster Harvest, PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch, August 31st. Monster Harvest is a monster collecting and farming action RPG with a twist. Grow, collect, and mutate your crops, then take them into battle.
You see?
Filled with places to discover and multiple ways to build your farm, get ready to craft, explore, and battle across the vibrant world of Planimal Point.
Well held, sir. I went in with the thought of Monster Hunter on the hope that you typed it in wrong and clicked download without realizing what you've done, and then the shame sits on your hard drive for a few years. No, when I actually looked at it, it's like Stardew Valley, but the plants that you grow join you in battle. Nice. Here's my... Is that a game that would make you go, oh, yes, please, sir? Have you done a bit of Stardew Valley, or is it no?
No. I've never delved into Stardew Valley. I've seen people lose entire days to that game, so I think that puts me off a little bit because I must say how it can get.
It's a very, very, very good game. Next, this is my mummy. This is basically medieval GTA. That should have been their description, but they weren't clever enough. It's Rustler, PS5, Xbox Series X, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. At that rate, it's probably on the Stadia. God knows it's on Teletext if you play your cards right. August 31st, become a medieval thug in a crazy open-world action game full of pop culture references, complete insane quests, kill heroes, steal horses, fight guards, rob peasants, listen to some bard music, and much more. All packed in old-school gameplay style. Have you seen that out and about or not?
I have not. I'm curious to know what old school gameplay style is.
Top down, at a distance, pretty much GTA. I think probably the viewpoint is a little bit more flattering. But
okay.
So you can see more of what's in front of you. If you play one of the old GTAs now, even though the screen does pan out a little bit at speed, it doesn't pull right back. So you normally get beaten by right 90-degree bends and the like. deadly, most deadly thing in that game. This one also nearly got my mummy, this one.
Lake, PC and Xbox Series X, September 1st. It's 1986. I was two. Sorry, George. Meredith Weiss.
I wasn't even born.
Meredith Weiss takes a break from her career at the big city to deliver mail in her hometown. How will she experience 2 weeks in beautiful Providence Oak with its iconic lake and quirky community? And what will she do next? It's up to you.
This has had me intrigued for some time, this game. I ought to get it. I ought to get it. Have you seen anything of Lake?
Afraid not, no.
You should check it out. It's quite nice, for want of a better word. Up next, it's this. Doesn't sound nice. Sounds like the sort of thing you would order from a curry house if you wanted your tongue to melt off. It's the Al Shaddy Ascension of the Metatron on PC. Shame they're not willing to share their games. It's September 2nd. Al Shaddy originally released in 2011. It's a unique third-person action-adventure game filled with deeply artistic world-building, outstanding aesthetics, and thrilling battles. Experience an incredible mix of a 2D-like platformer, action, and colourful 3D world in an exceptional setting. That was actually quite written. They've done well with that one. What's next?
Pathfinder, Wrath of the Righteous.
Actually, I'll take this because the next one's your mumsy, is it? Okay, well, here we go. Double time. Pathfinder, Wrath of the Righteous, PC, September 7th. Embark on a journey to a realm overrun by demons in a new epic RPG from the creators of the critically acclaimed Pathfinder Kingmaker. Explore the nature of good and evil, and learn the true cost of power, and rise as a mythic hero, capable of deeds beyond mortal expectations. That sounds formulaic at best. Apologies to the Pathfinder crew. Blech. What's next? It's your mummy. All hail. All hail the guest's mummy. It descends from the stars.
So we have WRC 10, PC, PS5, Xbox Series X, PS4, and Xbox One, September 2nd. Hailed by reviewers and professional drivers as the standard setting off-road racing simulation has been reinvented. Reach the 2021 season podium and celebrate the 50th anniversary of the competition. Relive the highlights at the wheel of legendary cars.
Wow.
So I've always been a fan of racing games, and I find they're a really good palate cleanser. If I've been in one genre for quite a while, it's nice to just sort of almost chill out with a driving game of some description.
Can I stop you there? No. Do you know what you are? You're my new gaming doctor. That's what you are. I've been looking for something. Do you know, ever in doubt, go see yourself a medical professional. A driving game is a good palate cleanser. What an absolute legend.
No, there's no pressure to follow quest lines. There's no story to really sort of distract you from everything else. It's just drive a car. It's as simple as that. I think with the simulator type games, it is a little bit more sort of intense. But I find...
WRC is a franchise. It's actually quite forgiving as well, isn't it? What a legend. What a great mummy. In the end... It's all come together, hasn't it? Well, I suppose we ought to let Stingray go, which means we've got one more title each and a famed UMD and a PSP to play it on. Next game. What the hell is this? Hang on a minute. Kitararia Fables. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, because I had to have another couple of looks at it. PC, PS5, Xbox Series X, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, Teletext, Hotpoint, Washing Machine, September 3rd. Action-adventure fused with RPG and farming elements, armed with sword, bow, and spellbook, fight against a rising darkness threatening the world. Plunder dungeons in search of relics and resources. Tend to your farm to make provisions and potions. Take on quests solo or with a friend. Do you have any potions or food? What's the last one from the boots, my esteemed co-host, Squire, sir?
I'm quite glad that we've landed on this one with me, because if I didn't already have this on the Xbox, this would have been my mummy. So the medium...
What's this on?
The medium is coming to PS5, finally, September 3rd. So it's been on Xbox Series X and Series S for a little while now. And I've played a few hours of it.
This is the twin screen one.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So
yes,
I'll read the spiel. Discover a dark mystery only a medium can solve. Travel to an abandoned communist resort and use your unique psychic abilities to uncover its deeply disturbing secrets. Solve dual reality puzzles, survive encounters with sinister spirits, and explore two realities at the same time. Definite recommend from me.
Really?
Absolutely.
I don't get a lot of series. I don't get a lot of gaming time, but I certainly get even less Xbox Series time. The medium. I wasn't quite sure what to make of it, to be honest with you, but everyone says it's a good game, so I might try it. It's on Games Pass. Presumably it's still on Games Pass. It won't be leaving because it's one of their exclusives.
So yeah, it's definitely worth a look. I need to finish it. I've done a fair chunk of it.
Is it a long game?
I don't know exactly how long. I think it's probably double figures, but
12 hours?
Low. Yeah, probably low double figures.
I think that sounds about right from what I've heard of people say. Can you do that with a game? Because I struggle. There's only been a very small amount of games I've been able to play a large chunk of, stop, and then come back to with any success. I normally forget where I am, where I'm going, what I'm doing, and it ends up being a bit of a disaster zone, if I'm honest.
It's mainly just control mechanics that throw me off. If I've been playing one type for a while, then I go back to another, and I end up button bashing and doing horrifically until I figured that out.
There's a lot of what I would call controller extension options that are in games these days. And so when you first start playing, it might be just a face button. But then when you get further into the game, it's a bumper and a face and another control direction as well. And it's when you're learning them as you're playing through the game, it just becomes seamless. When you go back into it, it feels very, the controller extensions always feel quite unnatural. And not intuitive at all, because they're not intuitive, because they're trying to do multiple commands through a 12 button device. Full power to you. I know if a game rests for me, it probably could be considered a corpse, which is why I just try and like force myself to see it through, even if I'm desperately unhappy.
I'm doing the same with Control as well. I've had two or three sittings on Control. I still need to finish it, but yeah, I started it before Christmas, I think, and I've sort of, yeah, like I said, two or three sittings, I've done a fair chunk of it. Just every now and then, just pick it back up, figure out the controls, and away we go again.
I think that's a game for me. That's on my list of shame, to be honest, and I probably ought to knock it off. Before he can go, before the static-filled CRT representation of Stingray that you can see can leave and the mulleted Meister can separate, he brings out his tub of UMDs. Now, while I think about what I'm going to use, in fact, to be honest, UMD is just a failed reference. It doesn't matter if it never came out on UMD. Stingray's a magician. He can make anything happen. What's your UMD of the week?
So I've picked out Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Season 6. I guess it's Disc 2.
Oh, no. Are we talking here? I put my hand into the flame and it turned black. Is that the specific one?
Sorry, Once More with Feeling?
Once More with Feeling. Put my hand into the flame and it was black. Oh, what are the words for that? I want the lyrics. If they were right in front of me, we could nail it in one go. I don't think they deserve it, do they, really? They deserve better from a man like myself.
It's the most wonderful, awful episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer that exists. And I love it.
It's perfection personified. It really is.
I
was so nervous, but then so filled with joy. There's some absolute belters on there, and there's some that just fall flat, which is a shame, because I think the belters kind of hold that episode together. And when you go through to, oh, what's her name? The two witches that are lovers.
Willow and Tara.
Yeah, and they have their sort of... that song doesn't really hold the same magnetism or dynamicism as the ones that are more sort of pointed towards the script, like with the Dance Master or whatever it's called. Those songs, he's amazing. Yeah. That one that ends, like that second playing of Through the Fire or whatever it's called in the actual episode, I don't know if it is on the actual thing, but I always say it when I listen to the soundtrack. When it finishes, I go, Shelter!
Yeah, there's so many little Shelter. Takeaways.
So good.
If I'm ever in a conversation and someone says they've got a theory, I always want to say it could be bunnies.
It could be.
And that makes no sense to anyone else in the room, but I still say it.
But they might. What if they suddenly turned around and went, oh my goodness.
We'll be best friends forever.
Could you form a friendship with a person over a bonding on a quote?
I think so.
Perfect. Okay. I love you.
I love you more.
The answer is I know. What are you doing to me? Okay. Right. What's my UMD? My God, I almost got off quite lightly. Let's pretend. All right. Let's pretend. If this is on UMD, let's pretend it's Live and Let Die. Just for the soundtrack alone, I feel. And with that, watch your fingers, because the boot's slammed. And I ask you this question. Where's he gone?
Well, he's been wheeled back into his car.
You saw that? Oh, I saw a dramatic wheel spin and tear up the drive. You saw a geography teacher arrive, unpack the TV into the side door of the car, put the belt around it carefully, walk around to the passenger seat, get in, and then be driven off by an aged wood-covered CRT. I don't know what Toxis is putting in your tea, but let me tell you, that ain't Earl Grey, friend. That is not Earl Grey.
I want more.
I need more. With that all done, the question that's been on everyone's lips, and Odders has had his finger poised across the enter key on his Discord rant about how amazing you are as a human being. Let me ask Odders to press send on that message as I ask you what you're hoping to play.
So I have two achievements left to get on 12 minutes, which is, it's a multiple ending game. So I've got one ending to do, and then there's one slightly grindy achievement. But
is that you coming out ripped, covered in oil with 1,000 G out that bad boy, or what?
It would be, and it's a very, very rare thing for me. Mainly because I play a lot of multiplayer, there are very few achievements in the multiplayer world. I've never been driven. Well, I was early on in the 360 days, but I've never really been driven by gamer score and achievements. But this one definitely has me hooked in. So yeah, I'm hoping to get those two knocked off.
Seeing as you've been in the ecosystem for quite a long time though, one would imagine just by the sheer nature of how many games that have come across your bow, like water droplets of a ship's hull on its way across the North Atlantic, you must have a gamer score that's reflective of a man who's tried many games.
Absolutely not. I think I'm nudging 60,000, which is...
That's more than my gamer score.
It's a very small amount, I think, compared to everyone else on my friends list, that's for sure. But Halo 3 took up a massive amount of my gaming time on the 360. And
was that a platinum experience? 1,000 G experience?
No, not at all. Because the multiplayer achievements are just so few and far between. And then the last 18 months, it's been Warzone, which has no achievements for that.
That's frustrating, isn't it? Yeah, I suppose.
Hundreds and hundreds of hours into a game, but statistically little. Well, I say statistically, I've got wins and I guess the score and the kills and stuff in the game, but yeah, no achievements to speak of. So,
he's not bothered. He doesn't want medals.
I don't need to prove myself.
Well,
so 12 minutes and finish off the Halo 4 campaign with the Spongos. That's all I'm sort of aiming for this week. So what about you?
Well, your talk of racing game wants me to get WRC for the PSP out because it's going to be the only access I've got. And I remember having a go on that and enjoying it. And it's quite, as you say, I'm sure WRC 10 is hyper-realistic, but this one's probably slightly less. I'm just trying to pick through some there to games to find to occupy me. Wish the PS5 was more mobile. And I know I could put it on my phone. I know I could do that. But for some reason, I don't see that's gaming. Even though I'll take a Vita or a PSP and I'll play that, I see that's gaming. I don't see taking a DualShock 4 or 5 or DualSense or whatever it's called, flipping core, call it what you like, Sony, I'm not bothered, and my phone and play that propped up on a wall. No.
It almost sits in the same category for me as emulators. Mm. Like, I like to play games on the hardware they were intended, not a dodgy application on my PC or my phone.
Well, that's true. That is very true. And although it probably seamless, it does feel like, I think you've nailed it once again. Not just a doctor, but my psychoanalyst. Brilliant. Would it feel more like gaming to me if I got one of those grips for my phone?
I think screen size has a role to play as well. Like I've used the xCloud functionality on my phone with a regular Xbox One controller. And obviously I'm using the same controller I would at home, but I'm very aware that I'm looking at a phone screen. And it takes you out of that world. It's difficult to get sort of drawn into the game as much when everything is going on around you.
I tell you what, like a sculptor, he came in here, a dangerous man, a war zone veteran covered in camo. He's now dropped his camo belt. He's snuck out of his dirty fatigues and now is standing in front of me resplendent in a bleached white doctor's coat, holding a clipboard, suggesting to me ways that I can heal myself medically through gaming. I think there's only one thing left for me to do. Two things left for me to do. One, this is a sword.
It is a sword.
And I knight thee, Sir Boba Loba. Arise, Sir Boba Loba, an official controller podcast knight.
I better not.
I have that effect on people, as does this sword. It seems to get a rise out of men that you didn't think were buttoned up that way, all of a sudden unable to stand in the presence of a Lord Ponsilbury, a.k.a. the Ponce, apparently, as I was reminded. That's what we affectionately refer to him. That's now what I must affectionately refer to myself as. How karma has a way of repeating oneself. Okay. I don't know where I was going with that, but now that's done, how does it feel to be amongst a very small collection of knights of the podcast? A knight of the realm.
I think it's going to take a couple of days for it to sink in. I'm going to drink some rum tonight and celebrate.
Oh, I think that's the most wonderful way. I think that's absolutely brilliant.
And I'll be sure to change my name in the Discord so everyone knows it.
Yes, and rightly so. Well deserved. Well, all joking aside, genuinely, I myself owe you a life debt. We do. No, we do. And as the unofficial controller podcast community manager, we thank you for everything that we do. Thank you for joining me this week. Next week, I'm meant to be all efficient, aren't I? Tell people what's happening next week so they can prepare in their minds what they're doing for the... Well, do you know what? I'll get you it. I'll get you it now. Because do you know what? I don't care what people say. We're organised on this show. Nah. We're reasonably well organised. Do you know what? Here we go. This is how organised we are. We've got at least 3 weeks of content in the bag. Beautiful. Oh, yeah. That's a high commodity in the podcast world. It's like platinum. So here's next week's show. If Rockstar could do their take on any open world setting, what would you choose and why? The sometimes disputed king of open world sandbox has been fairly quiet lately. So we ask, which setting or time period would you like them to tackle next? So next week, we want to find out where you want to see Rockstar set their next historic tour, their next game, be it historic, be it now. Go for it. Let us know. Be inventive, and we shall dig through some of the places they've been. Hope that's got you excited, Bobalova. It's two reasons why you can't stand up straight now.
I've got no words.
Well, thank you again, genuinely. I know we muck about, but seriously, you've added so much to the show and the collection of people that are in it. We couldn't do it without you. If someone's on the periphery right now, what would you say to draw them into the Discord?
I just think it's a fantastic place to extend the conversation of the Discord, of the podcast. So when you listen to a podcast, you have the conversation in your head with the host. But obviously you can't get your points across or your counter arguments or just your opinion. So climb into the Discord and just drop it in there and carry on the conversation.
Perfect. Do you know what? The best part is, in doing so, you might just find your new best friend. The Unofficial Controller Podcast, the only show giving out new best friends as if they're candies. All right? So get on board with it all. So thank you again. All that's left for me to do is to hit that famous outro, and that's all we have time for this week, listeners. As always, thank you for your time. We look forward to the pleasure of speaking to you again next week. Until then, happy gaming. And remember, there's nothing wrong with being given the Unofficial Controller. It's what you do with it that counts. Bobalova, thank you. See you next time.
Thank you. Goodbye.